promoting, and surviving your first book, out now from Catapult Press. Courtney will be appearing at Powell City of Books tomorrow, Tuesday, February 25th at 7:30, in conversation with Kimberly King Parsons. You can find out more on CourtneyMom.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Up next is Labor Radio.
In places like Sri Lanka, where some elephants are free to roam around the edge of the ocean, that just for the pure joy of it, they jump into the sea and they use their trunks as a snorkel. And they can go 20 to 30 miles just for the pleasure of it all.
You were just listening to Ingrid Newkirk, founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or as most of us know it, PETA. You can hear the rest of her interview with me on Voices for the Animals on Friday, February 28th, 10 a.m. right here on KBOO. Or go to kboo.fm/voicesfortheanimals to listen online.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the workers, by the workers, for the workers. I'm your host, Amanda Hill, here with my co-host, Jamie Partridge.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Jamie. Our guests this evening are Olivia Pace and Scout Zabel from the Growing Seeds Workers Union. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
We're glad to have you. So Growing Seeds is a local preschool here in the Portland area. Olivia, how many locations does Growing Seeds have, and are they associated with a larger corporation, and how many employees are there?
So as a whole, we are Growing Seeds Learning Community. There are three locations. There are two along Northeast MLK, and one that's associated with Reed College, but they're all one company. And there are about 77 employees, give or take.
Yeah. And they're a local company?
Yeah, they are a local company. Yeah, our owner started it as a single location. They've slowly expanded over the last 15 years. Initially with just the two locations, and then at some point Reed College approached the company asking if they wanted to bring some of the educational philosophies over to Reed, and they built a center there. So it's small.
It's like a private
for profit
with one owner.
Yes, a single owner of the three companies. Right. And there's also a farm affiliated with the schools that is owned by the same person, our boss, whose name is Kiri Epley.
Got it. So you call Growing Seeds a preschool, a school, not a daycare. And so what about the work that you do is different than that of, say, a babysitter?
I'll answer this one.
Hey, Scout.
Hi. So ultimately, like in a literal sense, the work that we're doing that's different from a daycare center is that it is very educational. Because we're a Reggio Emilia philosophy school, a lot of the education is child-led, like lesson plans, curriculum that's centered around things that they're interested in, and it's very hands-on and experiential. Which is different than a daycare center. And at the same time, I don't know that there's a lot of political utility in distinguishing us from people who work in daycares or people who are babysitters, because these are all care jobs that are incredibly underpaid and undervalued, and people who work at daycare centers deserve unions just as much as we do. And I think that's some language around this that we're trying to dispel as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's an interesting dynamic there, because we want all care work to be elevated to like the same level of value, which is like children like deeply need to build those like social bonds early on in their life, to have those social experiences in a place that is enriching and joyful, no matter where that place is.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, I feel like it is important to say that at this moment where we see teachers unions so strong, and teachers unions like across the political lines all across the country at the forefront of the labor movement right now, this like newly building labor movement. I think it's important for us to like wave our hands up and say like, we're being left out of this, and we like, we're doing care work and we're doing the work of teaching. A lot of times people kind of discard the work we're doing as being like not important or not deeply educational or just for fun, when really we are engaging in the same kind of work that teachers do. We are developing curriculum every single day. We are doing all that same work and also doing the extremely important and laborious work of putting children to sleep, potty training children, checking in with their parents every single day on whether they're like meeting developmental milestones, caring for them when they hit their heads, like, and it's all us because we're not a school facility, so we don't have nurses, we don't have janitors. We are the teachers, we are the nurses, we are the janitors, all in one.
So on that note, when you first started organizing, did you consider going with a teachers union? I know that you went with the ILWU. Mm-hmm. So how did you come to that decision?
We considered going with the teachers union, but not necessarily. We mostly fielded a few options and went with the ILWU because we felt really politically aligned with them, and we felt like we could have a lot of autonomy with them. And Scott could speak more to this.
Yeah, I think that one of the big reasons is because most of early childhood education is privatized, mm-hmm. that teachers' unions don't facilitate unionizing private facilities in quite the exact same way. And so there were a couple people that we approached as representatives from teachers' unions that kind of like redirected us, mm-hmm. because they felt that they couldn't really adequately represent us.
It's really interesting because the Portland Association of Teachers recently helped unionize a charter school. Is it called Trillium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's happening much more, especially where there are more radical teachers union, like mm-hmm. Chicago or Los Angeles, where mm-hmm. their charter schools are getting organized. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really exciting that you folks have hooked up with ILWU, which has a radical tradition. Mm-hmm. It's one of the strongest unions in the country.
Yeah.
But they're also like very member driven, very democratic, but they're militant too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard that from other folks that have been organizing with ILWU, is that they provide the guidance, but they let you run your campaign. They're not in your face and telling you you must do it this way. You're able to fit your campaign to what you actually do.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest reasons why we went with them, is because it was so much about where the workers were at and what things we were wanting to push for and bargain for, and them just helping us with like procedurally how we could do that, which was really helpful.
Yeah, we've had complete autonomy over every, like, it's truly been a question of like the guidance that they can offer us and and the support that they can offer us in like this process that has been very educational for a lot of us. And at the same time, we work in a field that I feel like is pretty radicalized, and we like have a lot of people who are already engaged in political organizing in the city who work at our job, and so we have been able to like bring our own ideas to the table consistently, and this campaign is like completely in our vision and completely reflects who the teachers of Growing Seeds are, mm-hmm. Which is something that I don't necessarily feel like you always get in other unions, but like the Growing Seeds Workers Union, what you see and like everything about this campaign reflects us as teachers and as people.
Yeah, all of our media, all of our statements, like everything is completely written by workers of Growing Seeds and created by workers mm-hmm. of Growing Seeds. That's
awesome. And you all had the example of the Powell's Bookstore
mm-hmm.
union to see what ILWU Local 5 is about.
Yeah, that's something that we share with people a lot, just because it's super exciting on multiple levels. Just Powell's is going into their seven contracts in with the ILWU. They have a strong union. Most people that we're working with in the ILWU who have provided us the most guidance are former Powell's workers who are now organizers and who started the local that we're in, Local 5. And right now, if we get our contract, we will be one of the first, if not the first. We just need to more... It's hard to fact check something that hasn't happened. So we're trying to make sure we're not missing something, but we're slated to be one of the first, if not the first, private preschool center or private child development center of our kind with a contract in the country. And so I feel like we're kind of setting a new path with this, and we're working, and we're going to be like unionized in the same local alongside this place in Portland that everybody loves, that people come here to see, that's kind of like this institution in the city that has, that also is not just like a tourist trap, but has a really strong union of really like passionate and empowered workers. And I just think it's a really, yeah, I just think it's a really exciting place to be in labor, in the labor struggle and in the city.
Yeah, it's really exciting that Portland has come up with these firsts in the labor movement, because, you know, it's okay to be, you know, donuts or whatever, but this is important stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about how you went about organizing your group, you know, starting from the beginning?
So I've been working there since early last year, which is when we started organizing. It started out just like different pockets of coworkers talking about grievances at work and talking about how cool it would be to unionize in kind of this like theoretical, abstract, like fun way. And we realized after like weeks of this happening, like we became aware of the other pockets of coworkers also having these same conversations, and it started to feel less like, oh, just this thing I talk about with my work friend, and more like, oh, there's actually a lot of interest in this and it could be possible. And it was like in the spring when things started to get warm and we just started like meeting in people's backyards to say, what do y'all think about this? What are your experiences with unions? Is this possible? Would this work for us? And because we had people who were so interested and honestly very like committed to their jobs and like loving the work that they do and wanting it to be better, that we had people coming back. We started organizing every other week and then started organizing every week because there was just so much like commitment. And exploring a lot of different options as far as like, can we do this alone? Do we need a parent union? And a lot of research went into that to figure out what the best avenue for actually like eventually going public would be. Unfortunately, because of the nature of the job and also because of, you know, our grievances, we had some amount of turnover in this time, which did complicate things. Like people who are like, I actually can't wait for this to materialize and I need to move on. So there was some shifting of kind of participants in that time. But yeah, ultimately, finally at the end of last year, a few of us who had been organizers previously in different political spheres reached out to like people we knew in the labor world. Thank you, Jamie Partridge, for people to connect us with potential parent unions and for people who could give us a little bit more guidance, and went from there.
And so you weren't all just people who had experience as organizers, but had organized together. I mean, there was a core group that had relationships going back years, right?
Well, some of us.
Not everybody, but some of us.
I want to emphasize that while there were several people who had been previous organizers, a lot of the people who are extremely dedicated didn't have organizing experience and were super down besides the fact, which was like one of the most exciting things about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it speaks to the people who are in this field where it's like, we aren't just doing this for us. Like everybody needs a job. Everybody needs like to be able to like financially support themselves. Everybody deserves that. And like, we need that and deserve that. And also like genuinely, like whether we're there or not, like genuinely want to leave this place having created like a better educational environment for the children that we work with. And there's always that second part of like, we want to better this for ourselves and we want to be better teachers for these kids. And so like, it's been people who have previous organizing experience and people who have no organizing experience, but all of us, I think, like by nature of being in this field and of like having a love for children and educating children, have been like equally passionate and dead set on getting this work done.
When you started out, did you have folks at each location that were interested in unionizing, or did you have to reach out to those other locations?
It mostly started at one location, which is our largest one, and we made connections at the other two, and yeah, filed with good numbers at all three locations.
So what were the deeply, you know, and widely felt issues that brought people together?
So wages is one of them. As we've said before, like, education and teaching is already deeply undervalued. Early childhood education, being an early childhood educator, is like pushed down farther in the barrel, like a lot more. The wages that we're working for are pretty ridiculous, especially in the context that we're working in, given the kind of work that we're doing compared to that of our peers in similar fields. We all make under $20 an hour. There's not like uniformity to who makes what. Mm-hmm. You can have been there for a year and make a ton more than a person that has worked there for like 8 years.
There's also a pretty high gap between support teacher wages and lead and assistant teacher wages, and support staff are often subbing for assistants and leads, doing much of the same work that they're doing but getting paid significantly less for it.
So in the union, the people that will be represented are lead teachers, assistant teachers, and support teachers. Every classroom, so we care for children ages 3 weeks to 5 years. In theory, I guess 6 years, but mostly 3 weeks, 3 weeks to 5 years, or 6 weeks to 5 years. I actually lost my train of thought. 6 weeks to 5 years, and
you're talking about the three different categories of.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Whoa. I blinked out. Okay. And so in every classroom, there are two teachers. There's like a lead teacher who's responsible for like the main like curriculum development. There's an assistant teacher, and they basically do the same amount of work. And the difference between them is essentially how much they get paid, and the job description slightly, but it's not. There is not like a lot of different training. It's basically just two teachers who are needed in the classroom because of legal ratios for teachers to children, and there's usually like a $1 to $2 wage gap. And then there's support staff who do breaks, who do planning, who do lunches, who take the children into like common areas when there's times that there's only one teacher in the room because our ratios are maxed out. Some childcare facilities will augment ratios because I know more about preschool because I'm a preschool teacher, but preschool ratio in Oregon, in the state of Oregon, legally is 1 to 10. But a lot of facilities will augment that, so it'll be like the law is 1 to 10, but our policy is 1 to 7, but at our school they're maxed out. So there's times where one teacher will be in the room, and so kids have to be taken out so that we're not at our ratio. So support staff are just kind of like making up the difference throughout the day and are getting paid significantly less.
A bit like nursing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO Portland Labor Radio. We're talking with organizers with the Growing Seeds Workers Union, Olivia Pace and Scout Sabel. And did I say that right?
It's Zabel, but that's okay.
Zabel, oh well.
A little flair over here from J.D. Partridge. A little French or something. So, you know, you work with your children all day long, and you see their parents every day as well. Have the children and the families of your children reacted to your announcement to unionize, and how will you answer their questions?
Our parents have been extremely supportive, which is what we anticipated before, and frankly, they've been more supportive than even we thought. I mean, yeah, they've been an integral part to the beginnings of this as we move forward toward our vote. We had an event for parents yesterday at Mississippi Pizza that was wonderful and great. Our parents were there, our kids were there. We celebrated with them. They're very happy. I think they, more than anybody, see the work that we do because, I mean, just there's no way for them not to see the need for this. And they've been a little bit surprised at the work. I mean, basically on a monetary level is not being valued the way that they experience it, because we talk to them every day, we're giving them updates on all their kids every day, we like have this in-depth knowledge of their lives and their children and their child's needs, And they're paying a lot more into it than we're getting back.
Right, right.
And I also think that parents, many of whom have children in like secondary school, understand more than administration the connection between having a union for preschool teachers and unions for like elementary school teachers. I think it clicks a little bit more for them.
Yeah, I remember back when the French school tried to unionize, how the school really worked to get the parents to turn against the folks that wanted to unionize, and it was really, really ugly. I'm glad to see that you guys have gotten ahead of that and talked to the parents and that they're on board with you.
Yeah. So, a lot of them are teachers themselves, honestly, like some of our supportive parents.
Yeah, they've been wonderful. I mean, we really couldn't ask for better.
Do you talk to the kids about it?
Yeah, we do. We can't like solicit the children, but we're allowed to wear buttons, we're allowed to wear shirts, and our kids are very curious. One of my kids, the very first day, it was like an ideal situation. Me and my co-teacher were standing together, and he was just like, "What are those? What are those buttons? Why are you wearing them? What are they for?" Like all at once, and we were like, "Well," and our school value social justice in practice, often, on paper, always, and in practice very often, and on paper always. And so they push us to have hard conversations with our kids. I talk to my kids about policing. I talk to my kids about prisons. I talk to my kids about anti-racism. I talk to my kids about indigeneity. And so we talk to them about the union. And told them that when they asked that, me and my co-teacher and all the other teachers work here during the day. This is our job, like how your parents go to your job. And sometimes workers get together to tell the people who are in charge of their job that they want to make it a better place. And usually that means, a lot of the time that means asking for more money, for food, and for medicine. And I told them, because I need a healthy body to be a good teacher. And that's kind of my base pitch to my students.
So we're hearing about a campaign that's gearing up to get a ballot measure on the November ballot for universal preschool for all. It's called Up Now. Are you all connected with that campaign?
A couple members of the union are also like dedicated to the campaign and go to meetings very frequently. And Up Now, before we went public, was one of our biggest endorsers.
Yeah. They were stoked on us.
Yeah, we had organizers come to our meetings on occasion, and it was very much like, your politics are very aligned with what we're doing. How can we support you? It's been really cool to have that support from them and work with them.
Can you explain a little bit what Up Now is?
Yeah, Universal Preschool Now is a ballot measure that is slated to be on the ballot in November. And I don't have a flyer in front of me, so maybe I'll get some of these wrong. Oh, I do have a flyer in front of me. Wonderful. It is a ballot measure that is going to try to implement universal preschool for all four-year-olds.
In Multnomah, three-year-olds and four-year-olds.
I thought it was in it.
Yeah, but that's changed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're gonna get better than better than just four-year-olds.
It's free preschool in the environment of parents' choice with high-quality care. That's trauma-informed, multilingual, culturally responsive. It wants a living wage for childcare workers of $18 an hour. We also want that, and wants a pay scale for teachers that's comparable to K-12 teachers. And access to representation and benefits, high quality professional development, and it's going to be funded by a marginal income tax of 3.9% on the top 5% of individual and joint earners in Multnomah County.
Tax the rich.
So yeah, exactly. Tax the rich. People who should be taxed.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah.
Well, it sounds like you guys can be a model for what will come when this passes.
And it's got union neutrality language, which means it basically employers cannot oppose union organizing.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, teachers need unions. Like
everyone
so
needs
severely.
Unions.
Yeah, everybody, all workers need a union, and that's kind of been the main thing that we've had to communicate, because we do work in a field where everybody there cares. Our bosses care, we care, and so the feeling has really been like, we just want to be supportive. Like, we thought we were giving you everything that you needed. And, you know, there's only so much that anybody can do. And so, yeah, we've been trying to push forward. Like, everybody deserves a union, and we can be a model as, like, one of the first private preschools to have a union contract, as a school that's, like, touting social justice-based philosophies in the city of Portland. Like, we can be a model to say all workers deserve a union, and us, like, with the philosophies that we put forward, are going to be a model of that.
You touched on this a little bit already, but are there any challenges you're encountering in your campaign so far? No one wants to answer this question.
That's basically the challenge. Yeah, I mean, the main challenge is, which I think is probably for a lot of union organizing, the main challenge has been our management and our bosses processing that they are worried that maybe they aren't supporting us enough. And to us, it's like I just said, it's like whether how much we're being supported, what could be better, what is bad, like what needs to be changed is not relevant to the fact that we need a union to guarantee the long-term wellness of the school. Even if we had no grievances, like no matter what job I ever work in, I am always going to want to be unionized. Even if we had no grievances, well, we would be unionizing because it's the best thing for us, it's the best thing for them, it's the best thing for the school, it's the best thing for the kids.
I think that one of the things we're trying to do is dispel the idea that unionizing is an inherently hostile act, and that we are not trying to unionize because we hate this school and we hate our administrators, but actually because we care enough about this school to want things to be better. And that's been something that we're trying to push to the forefront because it's maybe not necessarily the first thought people hear.
Exactly.
And it's really the resistance to unionizing and to workers fighting for their rights by the owning class that makes us have to engage in union organizing in this way that is very intense, because it's a right that we have that is continually, like, pushed upon and tossed aside by the people who are running the facilities that we're working in. Mm-hmm. So this is how you have to engage in this kind of organizing. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's basically your job, no matter where you work, as a manager, as an owner, to suppress it.
Right. And I think partially, too, it's like, in many ways, we are very supported by administration, but there's just no way that any worker can be fully supported if they themselves have no voice in any decision-making mm-hmm. in the exactly. workplace, and that you cannot perceive what everyone's needs are on just an individual whenever you have time for a meeting basis. But actually, like, if we have a social justice oriented school, that means the people, the workers who are, like, practicing that teaching need to be able to, like, functionally have a say in how the school
That's great.
Runs.
So we're getting close to being out of time. So we do want to give you time to talk about a rally you've got coming up on the 7th.
Yeah. So it's at 1 p.m., March 7th. It is a day of the week that is called
Saturday.
From 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And yeah, just asking people to come out Peninsula Park at 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th, to show your solidarity with us. And it is famously 3 days before our vote, which I found out live is on March 11th. Our vote's on March 11th.
Okay.
So
right on.
Yeah, I got an email from one of our reps just in this interview.
Nice.
So yeah, it'll be a last ramp up before our vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a lot of support, and I think it's going to be really important for everybody at our job, for all the staff at our job, and for the management at our job to see that we have voices in the community who are invested in our children getting the best education they can, who are invested in workers getting the best benefits and wages that they can, who are going to be pushing on them to support us as we go forward.
Perfect. Great. Rally Saturday, March 7th, Peninsula Park, 1 to 3 p.m. And so how can our listeners find out more information about your campaign?
Our Facebook page is Growing Seeds Workers Union. Our Instagram is GS Workers Union. And you can go on either of those places to get more information. Our email is gsworkersunion@gmail.com. Share our stuff on your social media. Search the hashtag or use the hashtag GS Workers Union. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
right. Well, that that wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio, this Monday evening, every Monday evening, 6 o'clock. And we've been talking with Growing Seeds Workers Union Scout
Zabel.
Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
And Olivia Pace.
That's me.
And just for folks' information, if you're interested in connecting with the Up Now Universal Preschool campaign, their website is upnow2020.org. And finally, I just wanted to announce for those who may not know about it, there's a Secrets of a Successful Organizer training coming up on Saturday, March 14th from 10 to 5. An opportunity for those of you who want to learn how to organize at work and win. And you can go to where?
Somewhere.
There's a Facebook page, Secrets of a Successful Organizer Training.
I've been. Right, it's on. Great.
All right.
Thank you guys for coming in.
And stay tuned.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Come join in the conversation with ML Laurie on our new podcast, What the Hell is Going On? A conversation about our human experience, our human condition, and the obstacles that we all have to happiness. This podcast is an extension of the segment Let's Stop for a Minute that ML produced for the KBOO radio show, The Politics of Living. So go to kboo.fm/whatthehellisgoingon, or you can go to www.kboo.fm, audio, podcasts, and What the Hell is Going On.
Baby, you understand me now.